Ain't that a kick in the head?
It is 4:22, and we are excited to be broadcasting live today between songs here at the Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Tonight we have Cowboys, Raiders pregame show on the ticket at the top of the hour or so. And we are fired up to get the season going again after the bye week. We will have Cowboy HSOs in the next segment. But in this segment, we don't. We have this.
We do. So last night, we got here yesterday afternoon to Circa. And DJ got here a little bit earlier. And we finally connected around 4 in the afternoon or so, I would say. And we were lucky enough to get a cabana out here at Circa Swim. So
lucky enough, huh? Did you slot machine or what?
Yeah, we got a big slot win.
Wow.
Yeah. And so me and DJ and Killer, Doc Killer, our old buddy Blake, a couple of my high school friends came down. Garrett from Myers Garden came down. And we all watched the evening game. We all watched Philly and Detroit with a smattering of Mavericks basketball.
Your trunks?
Yeah, we were shirtless. Got a couple of tattoos, fresh for the pool.
Gotta get in the pool.
Yeah, and we were ready to go. Now, we had a really fun time. And we had a good hypothetical at the end of the Mavericks game where it was, if the Mavericks went out and win the NBA championship.
Already not a good hypothetical, but okay.
We had everyone's ears last night. Would Nico then be considered some sort of god?
How soon do they rehire him?
Yeah, and like, where does the line start for the rest of the league to hire him?
Well, I was going to say, he's already being lifted up by half the league as some persecuted guy who has done wrong, some patsy. So the scenario that you are painting, honestly, it's going to be anything in the next 5 years. If the Mavericks are actually good, you're going to have to hear that Nico was right.
Nico built it.
Yeah, he's the architect.
Nico built, even though there's going to be one player left on the team
honestly,
that had anything to do with him.
Honestly, and this is just how it works. If he's got enough buddies in this league that anything – before his 30th birthday, at least, anything Cooper Flagg accomplishes is going to go as a Nico Harrison hit.
See what he did?
Yes. I'm just preparing you for it. I'm definitely not supporting it because it's nonsense of the highest order, but you better be ready. It's going to happen.
Well, so we had a late lunch preparing for the fact that we knew that we were going to eat at 9:30 p.m. dinner. 9:30 p.m. Vegas time, 11:30 p.m. Dallas time.
Yeah, because Barry's Chop House, or Barry's Prime, I believe is what it's called, is the basement restaurant here at Circa, and it's a fantastic steakhouse. And so reservations are not the easiest to come by, especially when you're looking last minute.
Yeah.
And so that was the best that you guys could get when you checked in.
Well, the problem is that DJ and I spent the better portion of the evening out here hanging out and having some pops and laughing it up and everything, and we kept looking at our phones going,
no, it's only 3 hours until dinner.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, we're ready for bed.
I'm very happy I wasn't put in a position where I had to decide, am I going to be outlasted by Wells?
Yeah, so as I said earlier, we barely got him to take a nap. He napped for maybe 30, 45 minutes.
And he typically goes to bed at what time?
At Dallas time, he goes to bed generally around 9, 9:30.
That's pretty late.
For a baby, yes, but I get home at 7:30, and I want to spend time with him.
Yeah.
And
but
so,
he was still all juiced up because he had a 5-team parlay going, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's ripping up his little papers, his little tickets.
At the little child sports book that he was set.
Smoking three cigarettes.
I'm all in.
He's got a pack of the candy cigarettes rolled up in his sleeve. So I got him dressed. I texted you guys before I got him dressed. I was like, are we still on for dinner? Because I thought you guys might have gone hard and you might have bailed. But you were like, no, we're here.
We're hungry.
Yeah.
We've got Killer in tow.
Yeah. So I get my wife and kid and we walk down Fremont and we get as we previously discussed, the security escort down to the steakhouse.
Yeah, because no kids are allowed at this hotel. Dave, if you missed the earlier segment, got banished to another hotel when they saw his baby.
Yes.
Any sight of any child is like the most shocking thing to these people. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Is that formula on your shoulder?
Yeah,
is that,
you're out.
Is that snot?
Get out.
In fact,
I think our server said, y'all must know the owner or something like that because this is such a rare, not usual thing.
Yeah, the fact that there was a child in the restaurant was raising eyebrows.
What'd you order for the kid?
He just ate off our plate.
Okay, all right.
Yeah,
porterhouse.
So, you guys make some tendies?
So we had a great meal. Killer joined us, so it was DJ and Corby, myself, Marissa, Wells, and Killer.
Now, first off, Killer,
it was party Killer.
He was so three sheets already.
And it was inappropriate Killer, and he was loud.
Heck yes.
It was such a nice restaurant, so not the place to be yelling obscenities like he was.
So they had a
Killer?
The
worst.
Bob, I was just like, Killer, please stop.
The Barry's.
Killer, please stop.
The Barry's Wagyu Prime Burger is a pricey burger by any standard. But, it has like bone marrow and Wagyu. It's like super fancy.
So you know it's good.
And, so it's named Barry's for the steakhouse and for the owner of Circa, right?
Derek is his name.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know where Barry comes from.
It's for Barry White.
It's for Barry White. But Killer starts making Barry Switzer jokes that they mix in some of Barry's DNA
loud
in the burger patty.
Loud. Over and over. And we're like, Killer, stop.
Yeah, we heard
Killer,
you the first time.
Stop, Killer. DJ, do something.
Well, first it's like Wells is right there. Like right there, and you're yelling this. And then it's the servers right there. The people that work here and are dining here are well within earshot. Just turn the temperature down a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have a great dinner. And at the end of the dinner, we're talking about the fact that we all get a certain per diem with our lodging, with our stay, part of our marketing deals, we all get a per diem to spend at the restaurants and stuff inside the resort. And so we're trying to figure out how to do the bill. And so the bill comes, and it is slightly less than one person's full per diem for the entire stay. And so Corby is completely wasted.
Corby's drooling on the table.
And so DJ...
I'm so tired at this point.
So put it all in his room?
And so the waiter said, I can put it on a room and you guys can work it out later. I can't split it up among three rooms. And so we're like, well, just put it all on this guy's room.
And I kind of look up. I'm like, wait, what?
Corby's head's in
there. We're moving his hand to sign the receipt.
Yeah, so
like
we're
weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, so we're like, put it all on his room, and then we'll all three of us will put a card down. We'll put a charge us a penny so we can tip you on our cards.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so Corby gets the check back, and he's like, "What am I paying for now?" And we're like, "This is for the tip. Just put down money for the tip."
I just saw this. It's so much money. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this.
And then we kept assuring him, "No, we got you the rest of the week.
Yeah.
It's all going to work out for you."
Well, sure enough, DJ had to buy my lunch today because I don't have any money left.
The system works perfect.
Yeah.
It was sketchy at the time, but it's
going to be sketchy because there was a lot of old fashions on that bill that I don't think are covered by the per diem.
Right.
So we're probably going to have to work that part out.
We're used to figuring that stuff out, I can assure you.
So at this point, I am now the butt of everyone's joke. It's just put it on Corby's tab and all this.
One of my favorite games.
And they're all laughing at me, and I'm just like, oh, man. And Dave's wife is laughing so hard at the entire process of what we just went through. And I'm like, and I feel like I'm being attacked from all angles.
Uh-oh.
And
he gets defensive.
And so
if you push him too far.
Yeah. We did have a text thread after the OU Alabama game. And for those who don't know, Marissa is massive. The biggest Alabama fan that I know.
It's the biggest thing she cares about in her life outside of our child.
Right.
Well, if only we knew an Oklahoma fan.
Right. And so I said to Dave, I go, don't worry. I will be a complete gentleman all weekend. I won't even mention it.
Which is a lie, but okay.
No, no.
And I replied. I said, good, because she's already wondered aloud.
Yeah, like, is he going to be insufferable?
I don't know if I want to go on this trip. I mean, what if they come into Tuscaloosa and win? I just don't know if I want to deal with Corby. No, he'll be fine, honey. I promise he'll be fine.
So she's laughing at me.
She's laughing, and I'm looking at Corby, and I see Corby kind of getting dark.
The wheels start turning.
I was like, oh, yeah.
He kinda,
I've got one card to play here.
Yeah, he's kind of getting dark and feeling like attacked, and then his darkness turns to evil.
The little John Mateer devil.
Like Pennywise.
I see the look on his face change, and he just gets this devilish grin.
And I go, hey, have you had a chance to check out the OU Alabama game yet, Marissa?
Ooh. Yeah, did you see the last play of the Alabama game?
And within seconds, and she's laughing, loud.
She went from laughing to?
Went from laughing to, she looks at me and goes, we're leaving. Yeah. And she's like, gets up, takes the baby, and leaves.
Yeah. She's like, well, we got to go. That's it.
They were halfway across the restaurant, and the three of us are looking at each other like, way to go,
wow.
Corby.
I've really not ended something like this in my life.
You cleared the room?
I cleared the room.
Cleared the room. She left.
She wasn't joking?
No.
Oh, man.
She wanted none of that.
Oh, wow. I feel like I really missed the dinner now.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
Yeah, did you ask her what happened?
No.
Oh, no.
Well, and it was so perfect, too, just because it was getting more and more patronizing for Corby because they brought, like, little cookies at the end.
Oh,
so,
God.
Four Wells, and they're like, well, you should take these, Corby, since you paid for everything, these tiny little cookies. Yeah. And
can
just,
you get a little to-go container for these tiny cookies for Corby to take back to his womb?
So we just pushed him one step too far.
So he could eat till Wednesday.
Launch the nuke.
All right. The Tick.
Lamb of God Lando is coming to the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory April 11th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at LiveNation.com. You can text Lamb to 22126 to win your way in. That's Lamb to 22126.
Yeah, don't text Lando. Just text Lamb to get a chance to win those tickets. All right, we are live at Circa Casino and Resort. We're inside today. We were outside yesterday at Circa Swim. But we're inside at the sportsbook because we got big rain in the Vegas area and big weather, big cold. So we're indoors today. Thanks to all the P1s that showed up yesterday before the game for our little meetup before our show and during our show. It's overwhelming, man. It's really, really
so
cool.
Awesome. Incredible.
Yeah. So thank you guys for making your way out here, and hopefully you had a good weekend and a good time up here.
I mean,
at
they
Circa.
Were here for the Cowboy game, and then.
Well, we dragged them. We pulled the boat. All right, so last night we're leaving the game. Game is over with. We actually knew that our car was going to be here at the stadium.
Oh, they sent you a car, did they?
At 9 o'clock. That was like an Uber. And so that gave us about 45 minutes to play with after the game. And so we utilized that in different ways. We stayed up in the suite that Dave Stabler got us, and Bob did the first post-game hit with Donovan and Matt, who, of course, every single week do the post-game show for the Cowboys. And then it was my turn to go on with them, but by that time, we had already started to walk down to the area that we were going to be picked up in the car, which was right outside the stadium. You know, within 50, 60 yards of it on the main drag.
But across the streets, across a major street.
Yeah, so one bit of contextual information. as you heard, if you were listening to the show yesterday, I was lugging around a car seat.
Right.
So hot.
Because Baby Wells is on this trip. And so everywhere we go in a vehicle, he has to be in his car seat because he's not even two yet. And it's the law.
Sure.
And so when we get to the stadium last night.
It's a woke law.
We can't bring car seat into Allegiant Stadium. We have to check it. And there are three or four locations outside the stadium where they have a bag check. And a lot of the people that were using this are women who don't know there's a clear bag policy.
Yeah.
And they have to check their purse. And so that's what most of this is for, but
it's an actual physical structure on the other side of the stadium.
Yeah, it's on the other side of the street. And so we are walking towards this so I can get the car seat out of bag check before the car arrives for us to take us back to Circa.
Right. So it's a lot of moving parts, and I'm behind everyone at this time because I'm on the phone doing, you know, the post game, killing it, by the way.
Dude.
Have you heard the reviews?
I could tell.
The analytics you were rattling off that quick after the game, insane.
Thank you. It's unbelievable you guys get to work with me on a day-to-day basis.
The audience just shot up.
Oh, my God.
DVOA like 20 times.
Yeah, yeah. Wins above replacement, all his jargon he goes with.
So Dave is leading, and Dave is – his wife Marissa is there, and are you holding Baby Wells?
Yeah,
holding
Wells.
All right. So, as we cross the street, and again, this is not trying to think of a similar street in Dallas that everybody, Greenville Avenue. It's a large street.
It's like a five-lane road, so two lanes in either direction and then like a turn lane.
Like Collins, going over Collins in Arlington.
But it is more or less closed to traffic at this point.
Yes.
That the only traffic on this road are motorcycle cops going either way to keep it clear.
Right. Which we saw. And they were loud. And they would flip on their sirens. Well, as we're crossing the street, and I'm last in line, I'm just following the herd, all of a sudden, while I'm on the air doing the post-game show, all hell broke loose from one of the motorcycle cops.
The Cowboys played the Patriots, and Jim Plunkett was quarterback of the Patriots. And so we told him that, and he goes, "I was."
Oh wow!
Oh no!
Man. Oh wow!
Not because. Oh my God, dude!
Are you under arrest? Are you getting arrested?
I don't care. It's illegal, and you're doing it with a child. There's something called a crosswalk. Your eyeball.
Oh no! Are you
what
hearing
happening? Yes, yes. Whoa!
Oh,
I think
my God.
You gotta dump that. That was somebody dropping an F-bomb in the
background.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Davey got in trouble for walking his kid across the street.
What? So that was on the loudspeaker about the baby?
Yes. Yes. There's something called a crosswalk. You do that with your baby.
Yeah, we did hear that.
Why were they on a microphone?
I didn't know what they were. they're yelling at Davey.
Was that the police?
Davey. Oh, my God.
Did you tell him that was Ken Stabler's great-grandkid?
Yeah, it was all on the air. Yes, it was all on the air. Yeah, they don't care. These cops don't really
care. It's the Raiders.
Ken Stabler's. Yeah.
They're mad that they lost today.
They're not true Raiders fans.
No, no. Wow. Anyway.
Yeah, we're going to hear a stabbing on the air.
Yeah. So it's a wild scene out here. But, yeah, awesome game.
But, yeah. But
awesome
yeah,
game, anyway. You know.
So. Yeah, so. They were calling it a megaphone, but he has his motorcycle cop helmet, and he has a little microphone, like a headset, like we have right on our headsets right now. And so he could just press a button on his handlebars to activate his mic, and then he had a speaker on his motorcycle. And so he, as this one...
Like Mr. Microphone.
This one, yeah. This one motorcycle cop in particular, because there were several, but this one was constantly using his mic to scold people to get on the sidewalk and keep this road clear. And so I'm walking across with Wells, making a beeline for this bag check, and he rolls right up to me.
Yeah.
Like, he stops. Like
he did a U-turn.
Like 2 feet from me. slams on his brakes, and he looks at me and he goes, "Are you insane?" And I was like, "What?" And he goes, "And you heard the rest. Like, there's a thing called a crosswalk, and you're jaywalking with your baby. That's against the law." And so he's just reading me the riot act. And so I'm standing there with Wells, and we are about
90% across.
Yeah, we're like 6 steps from the curb. And I said, "So what would you like me to do now?" And he said, "Well, you're already here. Just go."
I would like to say at this point that I back the blue.
I do too.
But I would also like to say there was literally nobody on the street.
No one.
No one.
It was
I thought he was gonna make me do a U-turn, go back to the other sidewalk and walk down to the crosswalk and all the way around.
Officer was so over the top that I literally thought we were being pranked.
I thought
this was like Impractical Jokers or something.
Yeah, I thought he was driving up to actually assist you walking a baby. I'm not joking. That's what it looked like.
Like a police escort.
Like, "Oh my God, a baby. I've got to save it." And just kind of, okay. Now be careful next time, son.
Like he came up to you and said, "There's a thing called a crosswalk. You should look it up." And it's just making such a spectacle about the entire... Look, I understand. At an NFL game, there will be jaywalking. And there will probably also be a pedestrian that gets hit by a truck because he's a moron and he's drunk and everything. I'm telling you, the street was completely empty, and these motorcycle cops were going down to address something, and one of them did sense that we were walking outside the crosswalk and did a complete U-turn and stepped on the gas, and it was so over the top that I could not believe what was happening.
And
the only thing I was bummed about is we weren't recording because it was so egregious. And then I remembered Corby was on the air live, and I'm like, well, surely that didn't make it on the air. It is as clear as day.
Yeah.
And do we also have audio of him admonishing the other lady that right next to us?
Yeah, yeah.
That's our second piece, right?
Yeah, so do you want to set this up? Because, again, I'm on the phone at this point. I'm 20 feet away from you. And he was chastising this one woman.
Well, so there was a couple, a guy and a girl that were Raiders fans.
Don't stop and me,
and they were standing on the sidewalk that we were headed towards. And I guess this cop had already gotten into it with them before we arrived on the scene. And so we get on the sidewalk, and she's telling us, you know, this guy's just a hothead, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. You're fine. And so as she's talking to me...
checks out, by the way.
He does another lap, and he starts getting in on people, like, stay on the sidewalk, stay off the street, use the crosswalk. And so she starts yelling at him, and then he goes in on her saying, everything is not about you. You need to check yourself. And I think that's what we have here.
Okay.
How noticeable was it to you to see Quinnen Williams out there for the Cowboys?
Very.
Yeah.
Very. Yeah. Like, it was, I mean, it changed everything, you know? Oh, my God.
What did he say now? You're getting arrested?
Stay on the sidewalk.
Is he going to arrest Wells?
Is it RoboCop? It sounds like RoboCop.
I know. It's so weird.
This is awesome.
Why
can't they just talk to you without being on the loudspeaker?
Did you hear what he just said?
No, what did he say?
Ma'am, the world doesn't revolve around you, so when you speak, think a little bit clearer.
Oh, my God.
All right, pause it there. Punk.
And he literally said that she needs to, quote, humble herself.
Yeah, that not everything is about you.
I will say a lot of people do probably need to hear that daily. The world does not revolve around
but
you, sir
saying,
or ma'am.
Would it be okay if we say there's irony in him saying
yes.
that you need to humble yourself?
It was amazing.
Like, bro, congratulations.
He owned this girl pretty good. I kind of enjoyed that one.
But he wheeled all the way back around to confront someone who was standing on a curb with no cars around her whatsoever.
Yeah, he had
literally an empty street.
He had incredible mall cop energy.
Yeah. All right, is there more?
Did you hear what he just said?
No, what did he say?
Ma'am, the world doesn't revolve around you, so when you speak, think a little bit clearer.
my God. Drop it, punk.
Man, we're about to see hear an arrest live on the air.
Oh, it's so great. I can't wait to pull this audio. Crazy.
Yeah, it was like the state trooper at Kyle Field.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Was relocated to Las Vegas and needed to clear all of Las Vegas of jaywalkers in one fell swoop. And, man, that was some over-the-top law enforcement right there.
Yeah, and you
was
know,
Wells freaking out at all? Because that was loud.
No, he was, loved to see he was, a yeah, he cop was, on a motorcycle.
He was like, look at those flashing lights. It's like the slot machines.
It was like the coolest thing I've ever seen.
It was, though, kind of perfect in that everywhere we have taken the baby or the stroller, it's been met with some type of resistance.
Yes.
It was way too smooth getting out of the stadium and getting over to the place. Something had to happen. And the police intervened to scold Dave.
This whole city is against my child. But the fact that this guy had such angst towards me.
Yeah.
And, you know.
He had it with you.
And my wife, God love her, she is a very supportive spouse. But if I ever do anything stupid where Wells is concerned, she is the first one to ream me out.
Yeah.
And she was not upset with me crossing an empty street.
You weren't playing Frogger.
Yeah. It was not like I was dodging traffic. It's not like I was dodging traffic. I was walking across a completely empty street. And so she thought it was funny. So if she thought it was funny that I was being admonished by a cop, then it was totally out of line.
God. All right, let's come back in 3 minutes. Let's talk about our sweet scene and all of the famous and not so famous people that were in there. And
hey,
all the mistakes that Bob made.
Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
All right, The Hard Line. We are live from Las Vegas, Nevada at Circa Casino and Resort inside their famed sports book. A little dodgy weather outside. Last night we were lucky enough to go to the game, and we were super lucky enough to utilize the name of Dave Stabler.
Well, more Marissa Stabler.
Yeah, come on, don't sell yourself short.
I had nothing to do with this.
Where the Stabler name, of course, is Raider royalty of the highest level.
It's the second Hardline Cowboys road trip where we had some ownership connections. Because when we went to Lambeau, I was able to get us the worst seat in Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
And
your connections is terrible.
So Dave thought he could probably compete with that, and he did quite well.
So he got all of us up into Carol Davis's suite. That is the former wife of
Al Davis.
Al Davis.
Yes, she just passed away just a few weeks ago.
She did. And there was a photo of her in the suite right when you walk in. We all took a knee, bowed to her and her perpetual haunting of said suite, and said, please leave us alone tonight.
Just let us watch this game in peace.
Right, don't scare us.
Don't haunt the lobster rolls, please.
And so we walk into the suite, and it's on the...
no seafood tower, but lobster rolls.
Yeah.
It's on the 50-yard line, as, you know, Al Davis's suite would be. And immediately I notice that as I'm scanning the suite, that there is one gentleman in particular that I'm like, oh my God. And I kind of freaked out, and DJ was next to me.
And he had to hold you.
I wanted DJ to be way more excited.
He's too young.
Yeah, Sketch wasn't in there.
All right, there's something in between 1965 quarterbacks and Sketch.
Not 65, you idiot. Early 80s. 70s through the early
80s. Might as well be 20 years before I was born.
If you would have seen Cartman in there, it would have been
that would have been huge.
Oh, my God. Cartman. So the great Jim Plunkett, two-time Super Bowl winner with the Raiders.
The last Raiders quarterback.
The last Raiders.
80 and 83, right?
Yeah, the last Raiders quarterback to win a Super Bowl was the great Jim Plunkett. Well, there he is in all his glory sitting there, and I'm like, oh, my God. And I loved Jim Plunkett as a kid. Like, loved him. Thought he was super underrated. And, of course, he holds a distinction of being the only two-time Super Bowl winner that is not in the Hall of Fame. Well, Eli, technically, two now.
Eli Jordan.
But Eli will get in. And so I'm kind of going nuts over that. And eventually we strike up a conversation with him. And he allows me to hold his Super Bowl ring. And
that was a ballsy, ballsy request by you, man.
What?
Hey, man, can I see your ring? I believe it was your request.
No, I said, hey, Jim.
JP.
He was Mr. Plunkett at first.
Mr. Plunkett?
But then the conversation became friendly enough to where
I felt... Hey, Jimbo, let me see that ring.
I felt I was comfortable enough to call him Jim.
Bruh.
And so, yes, he let me hold and try on his Super Bowl ring, which was awesome.
Which one was he wearing?
I believe that one was the first one.
Okay.
It was the 1980 one.
15.
And then, of course,
the Eagles.
I start to grill him on his past accomplishments. At the time, he had the longest, I don't know if it still is, the longest touchdown pass in Super Bowl history.
To Kenny King.
To the great Kenny King, who was one of my OU idols back in the day. And I go, that was just a screen pass, right? He goes, I don't know. Because I don't really remember. And then Bob goes, oh, my God. So Bob's doing the Cowboys 50 years ago deal on Twitter. And Plunkett, it just so happened that 50 years ago, the day before, started a game with the Patriots against the Cowboys.
He was the 1-1 in the 71 draft.
Yeah, Heisman Trophy winner out of Stanford. He was a badass.
Yeah.
Parents both blind. Like, it's a really, really cool story.
They were gay?
I mean, gay.
No, they were both blind. And so, you know, and I we're like, yeah, you 50 years ago yesterday, you started a game against the Cowboys. And he goes, who was I playing with? We're like, the Patriots. And he's like, did I do good? And I'm like, you have no memory of that? He goes, man, I really don't. That game in particular, no, I have no memory.
And I'm like, do you think 12 for 30 is good? I didn't do that.
You're below 50% completion percentage.
You exterminated him.
Yeah. Well, Bob is rattling off all these stats, and Plunkett is just like, you have a way better memory than I do.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of this.
But he was very nice.
Yeah.
Very, very pissed off that his Raiders weren't doing well, but
yeah.
I'm sure he's used to it by now.
I mean, how old is he now?
78 in 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah, and watching him react as that game got out of hand, it was like he was still on the team.
Yeah. No, I know. He was not happy.
He's got to feel like Danny Glover every day.
Oh, my God.
Too, old,
too
old
for this. Too old
for this.
So, at the beginning of the game in the suite, there was a girl sitting next to me. And literally, we're sitting 1 inch away from each other. And as I am looking at her, I'm like, what a bitch. You look really familiar. But I don't know who you are. And then someone else in the suite turned to her, a guy, and goes, hey, champ, you need anything? And so I turned to Bob and DJ.
Well, first Corby thought they were talking to him when they said champ. I realized it was the person
like
next to him.
A little five-year-old.
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Champ.
2023 Picks with Friends champ.
Are you the only three-time winner? I am. And so, yeah, I'm like, who is this? It's got to be a WNBA player. And
wow.
What? She's a champ in the in Vegas.
Profiling.
And then Bob's like, I don't know. I don't know who it is. I don't know. And DJ, of course, has no idea. None.
He's Mr. DJ's WNBA.
Just trying to eat my prime rib in peace.
DJ's playing his Game Boy over in the corner.
So we have no idea. Well, then as the night progresses, more ladies show up. And the girl who was next to me, she was about 5'9". Mm. And then another girl showed up who was like 5'5". I didn't recognize him, but at that point, you had done like Google search.
Me and DJ were working on it.
Okay.
We were looking for photos of our champs.
And then
we were in a suite of champs.
Bob very confidently goes, oh, it's the whole Las Vegas Aces team, and they just won a championship. And so, yes.
They're a dynasty.
It wasn't the whole team, but I think there were four.
Yeah.
When are you going to recognize the dynasty that is the Las Vegas Aces?
So the primary ace that was in our suite, because the Aces are also owned by Mark Davis, and so Chelsea Gray, who's from Frisco, she was in the suite, as was basically her entire family. Both her parents were there, brothers, sisters. There was like a grandkid that was around Wells's age.
Yeah.
And so she was there. And then Jackie Young, who was the really stunning one.
Yeah.
I mean, she was beautiful. And then I think Aliyah Nye.
Is Jackie Young the one that was sitting next to me?
Oh, yeah. That is Aliyah Nye. She was there.
Yeah. And I think Aliyah Nye liked the look of me a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
I think she smiled at me once. Okay. And then
out of pity.
And then Dana Evans was the other one.
That was a short girl.
Yeah, that was the shorter one. And that was the one that struck up a friendship with Wells. Wells was flirting with Dana Evans the entire night. And she was happy to chat him up as well. So, yeah. So Wells could have closed the deal with Dana Evans, and I could have closed the deal with Aliyah Nye.
And Dana Evans was literally 5'5".
Yeah.
Like, she's tiny.
Maybe. Maybe.
Yeah. And was it Chelsea what? What's her name? Chelsea Gray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Frisco's own?
Chelsea Gray.
Mm-hmm. Her nickname is Point God, G-A-W-D.
Point God.
Yeah.
Well, I felt really dumb.
She's a really good point guard, but more of a point god.
That I'm sitting next to like a WNBA champ for 3 hours and never knew until the very end that that's what they were.
Would you have been nervous had you known?
I would have struck up a conversation because I know Paige. Paige is my girl, and I probably would have said, are you ready for Paige? Because the era is just now starting.
Right.
Yeah, and then you would have talked about how you could beat them in a game of horse.
Probably more one-on-one. They probably got trick shots on me, but I could take them down one-on-one.
So they've won 3 of the last 4 WNBA titles, and for 4 years, their coach has been Becky Hammon.
Former Spurs assistant.
The Spurs assistant that Corby has continued to spam all over the airwaves.
I want to coach the Mavericks.
And she took over for who?
Dean Cain.
Bill Laimbeer.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Dean Cain, Superman?
Yes.
Do you want to talk about the giant, terrible leap that I took?
All right, so we had a great moment.
What were you doing?
I'd like to hear it from Dave's perspective.
I had some liquid courage.
Yeah.
And there was a guy there who was decked out in Raider gear. And he had had a few interactions with Jim Plunkett. And I thought that he was a former Raider. And then I heard someone call him James. And I thought he looked kind of like James Lofton. And so I was just like, I'm just going to just introduce him to Bob.
Now, why did you think he looked kind of like James Lofton?
It was just a guess. It was a terrible guess.
It's either Red Fox or James Lofton.
So I
because
was like,
I've been lucky enough to have met James Lofton a few times in Dallas because I think he's lived in the area. So I definitely know who James Lofton is and definitely can identify him on site. And Sweet Dave is introducing me to this man as if he's James Lofton.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, hey, James, this guy's a Packer owner.
In fact, Dave was ready with the anecdote that my mom made me an iron-on sweatshirt of James Lofton's jersey. Yeah. I wanted to share it.
I was like, I have all these icebreakers for the wrong person.
For the NFL Hall of Fame.
And so it turns out that it was James Gray, Chelsea's dad.
That's right.
And I,
God.
But I don't think he knew the colossal mistake that I made. I think he just thought that I was just being overly friendly and trying to get people to talk to one another.
Yeah, and then we did have a nice conversation.
He was a great guy.
I tried,
but he's not James Lofton.
Yes, I tried with all my might to steer the conversation away from him being James Lofton and more. Let's just talk about the football game.
Thanks for not throwing me under the bus.
But it was like a long conversation too that you got stuck with.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was a very nice guy. It was fun and it was good to hear which daughter was his, who's an NBA champion or WNBA
and he still
champion.
Lives in Frisco, so if you are a P1 and you know James Gray, just
yes.
Let him know that I thought he was James Lofton.
And Bob thought that the last 3 girls that walked in the suite were either TLC or Salt and Pepper.
Why are you doing this?
What?
I'm the only person who knew and cared who they were, and now you're making me out to identify every black lady as a member of Salt and Pepper, which is so wrong.
And he was kind of casually singing Shoop.
Just like, just trying to get a reaction.
Just seeing if they're like, oh, you know our hit.
Oh, my God.
No, Spinderella was not in the suite.
And then he's like, maybe it's TLC, and he starts singing Waterfalls.
What a jerk you are.
And we're like, dude, just give it a rest. They're not going to talk to you no matter what.
Yeah, they're way too young. They're probably in a TLC cover
oh,
band.
Oh, so now I'm hitting on them, too. All right, well, anyway.
They're in a TLC cover band.
It was great.
Don't
great
go
to party
chasing waterfalls.
With the Las Vegas Aces last night in the suite as we straddled the 50-yard line while eating lobster rolls.
Thank you, Marissa.
Yes,
thank you, Marissa.
Thank you, Wells.
Stabler, who, by the way, introduced herself over and over as Marissa Stabler.
Yeah.
And I, when we walked in, the guys were looking at us like, you don't belong in here. And I go, we're guests of Marissa Stabler, and she's not here yet. She'll be up here in a second. They go, oh, okay.
Yeah, it is the key that unlocks the kingdom.
You just need to go by Dave Stabler.
Yeah, for the rest
of
the night.
I really do need to go straight to the DMV and change my license.
Yeah,
for the rest of the night, it was Bob Stabler, Corby Stabler, DJ Stabler.
We're all part of the Stabler tree.
Sports Radio, 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
The Ticket.
So we woke up very early this morning, and we were off to the airport. What's it called? Leo Hartsfield Airport. Or
Harry Reid.
Harry Reid.
Big Harry Reid.
Right. And we
went in three waves. DJ went first because DJ was the cheapest. And so he took the cheapest flight.
What time did you leave?
4:30. Left the hotel at 4:30.
What time did the flight leave?
7:30.
Like 7. Yeah, they got me there super early.
Okay.
Yeah, so his flight was at 7:30, my flight was at 8, y'all's flight was at 9.
No, our flight was at 8.
Oh, okay. Then
yours was at 7.
Okay, mine was at 7, his was at 6:30, I guess.
Oh, I thought you guys were on the same flight.
No, no.
All right.
My bad.
So, Bob and I were on the same flight, and
The Peach.
Dave left an hour and a half earlier, DJ did. Okay, so, we get off, and Bob and I proceed to, we were in Terminal B. We go outside to get our Uber to go back home.
Our separate Ubers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people thinking
no,
we left together
gross.
Suspiciously.
And so Bob gets in his Uber first, and then I'm waiting there for another couple of minutes. And as I'm waiting, about 40 yards to my right, I see a man walking toward me feverishly. And that man was Dave Lane.
Was he carrying a child seat?
Dave! Who, I was like, wait, what? I mean, I knew he took off an hour earlier, so I'm looking at him, I go, why are you still here?
Just getting his steps in at the airport?
Yeah, well, we had a maintenance issue with the plane, so they had to, we pushed back, then we had to be towed back in. And fortunately, it was just a minor repair. No big deal. But then they had to fill out paperwork after that. That took a little bit longer. Then they had the flight route changed. And so they needed, I guess, because they had to fly around some weather. And so they needed to add more fuel. So then we had to wait for the fuel truck to come over. Then the fuel truck didn't put enough fuel in before he detached and started driving away, and they had to go catch him because he had to add like another 1,000 pounds of fuel. So then we finally back up and we take off. You know, by this time we're in line, and I'm sure you guys, your plane had jumped ahead of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Corby demanded that your plane goes back so we can go first.
Yeah. And so then the flight was uneventful. Flight was great. But Wells only slept for maybe 15 minutes of it.
Ugh.
In spite of the fact that he was woken up at 5 o'clock Vegas time
right.
to get to the airport. So 3 o'clock Dallas time, right?
No, you're the other way.
God, I'm so dumb with time zones. I can't do it.
Can't do it, man.
I just can't do it. But yeah, I'm so fried because
so it was like yesterday.
I'm so fried because last night you and I went out.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that later. And so while you and I were out, Marissa, my wife, was watching Wells and packing all of her stuff and his stuff. And so on the plane, it was kind of like my turn to be lead parent.
Right.
While she was kind of watching a movie and in and out of sleep herself. And so I'm having to entertain him the entire way. Then we land. And we land at a different terminal than where our car is parked. And so that's when you saw me.
Yes.
I left wife and baby at the bag claim. And then I had to get in one of those terminal link shuttles to go to the other terminal to get the car to come back around and pick everybody and all our crap up.
Why didn't you take Skylink or whatever?
Because I initially thought that we would all grab the stuff at the bag claim together and
yeah.
then take Skylink together. But the bag claim was taking a long time. I was like, well, I'll be quick.
Yeah.
I'm going to jump in one of these terminal link vans and I'll be back before you know it. I had to wait for like five vans. Like they kept on coming by. Are you going to C? No, sorry, man. Are you going to C? No, I think the next one. No, it's the next one. And so finally, by the time I got to the car, she had already gotten all the stuff and was like, where are you?
Ugh.
So I should have just stayed. But anyway.
Well,
and then then we got home, and then I had to, after I got everything out of the car, then I had to go to the dog boarding place to pick up the dog.
Oh, God.
So I was just nonstop hauling ass all over the place just to get here.
This was an incredibly relaxing 3 days.
For you guys.
For us. And you had the look of, you had battered dad syndrome when I saw you. Like, everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
I mean, I did it to myself.
No, oh, I know.
But Dave just kept manifesting the positivity. Just, it'll be fine. Just, keep moving. It'll be okay. Yeah. It's fine.
Soon I can go to work.
Yeah, escape this to get back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so tired and so beaten that I really didn't want to come in today. But then I was like, yeah, but it's like 4 hours of peace and quiet.
I can actually go to work.
Yeah, it's so quiet at work.
Kind of hang out.
With everyone talking? Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect. Yeah, I've had that look before at the end of if you want to call it a vacation or whatever, where I'm so beaten.
Right.
By just doing kid stuff. For the majority of the trip.
It's just kid stuff.
That you feel worse than you did before you left.
Oh, yeah. And I also caught like the Vegas flu at the
diary
at the Monday Night Football game. So I've been like fighting something for the last 36 hours.
Probably from those Las Vegas Aces always trying to make out with us, you know?
I know, yeah.
Like, look, I don't want to make out with anyone else.
Not in front of my wife.
God, again? So tired of sticking my tongue down your throat.
Get ready for an all-new Heartline segment. It's time to step into the Snake Pit.
All right. Snake Pit time. We had a night in Vegas last night before we came home early this morning. And if you're in Vegas, nowadays at least, I think the first thing you should look up is what is playing at the Sphere. Who is playing at the Sphere? And even if you have just the slightest inkling in your brain that you would enjoy whatever it is, go. Just go.
Yeah.
Get to the Sphere.
It's that good.
And we saw you two there a couple of years ago at the Super Bowl. And then last night, we were kind of bouncing around trying to figure out something to do. And we knew that the Wizard of Oz was playing there. And so I went and found tickets. It ain't cheap. You're paying $100 to go see the Wizard of Oz, but you're seeing it at the Sphere. And so Dave and I went. Bob and DJ had a hockey date. We'll get to that in a second. So it is the original Wizard of Oz. They're not tricking it up and doing Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon attached to it. It's just the Wizard of Oz.
But it's plenty tricked up.
It's so tricked up. First off, I'm glad that we did it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I definitely have no problem paying that type of money to go to an event like that.
And seeing it on a Tuesday, it was maybe a third full.
Yeah.
Like, it was pretty sparsely attended.
Yeah, it was. And we went to the 8 o'clock showing, and they're very adamant. You got to get there on time, and they will not let you in after 8 o'clock, and we were really close.
Yeah, we were cutting it close because, you know, they have the F1 race this coming Saturday.
Right.
And so the strip is all messed up because they already have the barricades up, and everything's down to one lane in all of these main thoroughfares. And so getting around in Las Vegas was worse than normal this
A half
this
mile,
week.
It's like L.A. It was like a half mile takes 25 minutes if you're in a car.
I was going to say, that's like Saturday late, right? Like, it's a night race late Saturday night, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they got it all set up. They're ready to go. So we get in there, and it starts, and it's, you know, the thing about the Sphere is that the second whatever you're there to go see, whether it's a concert or whether it's, you know, a movie like this, the second the credits ended and the screen lit up, all 8 million, you know, square feet of it, everybody collectively goes, whoa.
Yeah. Because it's always...
Wow.
I mean, I've only been there twice, for you two and now for this, but they always have an experience that you walk into as you go to your seat.
Mm-hmm.
When it was the U2 show, it looked like you were in this ancient ruin that was made out of huge stone blocks.
It looks so real.
And it looks so real. And then for The Wizard of Oz, it's like you're walking into a vintage movie theater, and so you see on either side curtains and balcony seating.
Wow.
And then
that's cool.
And then you see the movie screen in front, and then all of that just vanishes and it becomes the entire screen when the movie actually starts.
Huh.
So it totally trips you out.
And it's, you know, look, I've not seen The Wizard of Oz in its entirety.
Why'd you say it like that?
Well, I don't know. Wizard of Oz.
It was like a killer.
Yeah,
I saw
like
the
killer.
Wizard of Oz maybe since I was like 8 or 9. I know it was on in my house and my kids would watch it when they were little and I would kind of, you know, being out of the room.
Baked.
Yeah. I can't believe how much I had forgotten about that movie. But yet, when the scene started to play out, I'm like, oh my God, I remember everything.
Yeah.
So I forgot everything, but remembered everything too.
Yeah.
Everything.
But the way they do this, it's on one hand incredibly impressive, on the other hand incredibly distracting. It's because they're filling this entire dome with imagery, and the original film is, you know, the 16:9 aspect ratio, whatever it is. And so what they had done is they basically cut out all of the characters, and then they recreate the backgrounds. And so, like, the actors are digitally plopped into these scenes that take the original backdrop and make it so it fits this entire screen. And sometimes it works seamlessly and it looks great. Other times it looks really sketchy. And there are, like, background actors. Some of them are new, mm-hmm. like they shot just for this. And some of them are from the original. And sometimes they get into a loop and they're a little AI glitchy.
Really?
It's weird, man.
It is really weird.
It's really, really strange. And yeah, everything looks way too CGI-y. It's interactive, too, meaning there are fans. There's fake debris flying around when the tornado's happening.
Yeah, there's leaves and smoke flying around you.
Your chair is constantly shaking.
Yeah, the coolest part was the tornado and then the house crashing on top of the Wicked Witch of the East.
Yes. That was
because the house,
it's dropping on you.
It drops onto you and the whole building shakes.
Right. And it's a collective, "Oh!"
Yeah.
And then people were like, oh my God.
Everybody was like, whoa.
Yeah.
It was great. And when they, after they finally meet the Cowardly Lion, so they have the whole group together, the four main characters.
Okay.
And they go into, or it might have been before that, when they go into the forest and Dorothy's hungry and she wants an apple.
Yeah.
And then the trees come to life. And the Scarecrow starts making fun of the trees, so they'll throw apples at them. and then they chunk apples into the crowd.
Oh, a little souvenir, yeah,
it's
Dave.
A little foam apple, and evidently I was not paying attention, and this whizzed right by my head.
Like, right, I mean, a millimeter from his face. I go, dude, did you see that? And he's like, no, man.
What? And then I look to my left because we're right on the aisle, and there's this apple sitting right there, yeah, on the steps. So I was like, zoink.
Yeah, the one that almost hit him in the face.
But it was, you know, it's like when a foul ball goes into the stands at a baseball game. Like, grown people are, like, diving over seats to try and get these little foam apples.
How much larger is the sphere than Cosm? Like, what's the different screen?
Oh, dude.
It's probably at least five times the size.
You wouldn't believe how big the sphere is. It
doesn't make sense.
It blows your mind.
In any video you see from any band, whether it's, you know, U2 or The Dead or these movies that they're running or whatever, it doesn't do it justice at all. Like videos your friends show you, you can't imagine what a modern miracle this thing is.
Yeah.
But not only
outside and inside.
Not only is it, like, they're similar, though, in that they're, like, new technology for viewing experiences that make you feel like you're in an all-new environment that is so fresh.
Immersive.
Yes, immersive is the perfect word I was struggling to find there. And aren't they both James Dolan productions?
No, Cosm's not.
It's not?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I don't know how many people you can fit in Cosm, but you can fit 6,000 people in the sphere. So.
Yeah, they're... Yes, I don't in any way want to make anyone think they're same. It's just the same concept.
Yeah.
Of, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe it has nothing to do with Cosm.
Well,
right, I'll walk that back.
It was awesome. Like, it's the Wizard of Oz, for God. What if I was telling Dave, if they stuck like Die Hard or any of those classic, you know, action flicks on there.
Yeah.
How incredible would that be?
I was saying if they would Cosm, or not Cosm, if they would spherify the original Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that would be
incredible.
Yes.
So you guys didn't feel weird about the price point or anything?
No. No.
It's part of playing poker out there, man.
It was worth it.
Okay. I mean, just at the end of the day, you're seeing a movie you've already seen for
$100.
$100.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's the sphere.
Yeah.
Right? They're selling the sphere, not the Wizard of Oz. Or the Wizard of Oz.
But yeah, the way they... sometimes you would see this really weird waxy texture on like the close-ups of Dorothy, or like they would show her aunt and uncle at the end of the scene, remember?
Yeah.
And I guess like in the original, the uncle's out of frame, so they have like CGI uncle, and then his face kind of morphs when it gets back to the original film uncle.
It's Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, right?
I need you to read this, though, because at the end of the movie, they put the cast up. What joke did you just make?
He's making a Star Wars joke.
Okay, yeah.
What?
So they put the cast
up. Read the last line.
So, you know, the little people are called the Munchkins.
Yes.
And
midgets.
So this was how they described our friends, the Munchkins, the actors.
The singer midgets as the Munchkins.
The singer midgets.
So there's a group out there called the Singer Midgets?
There was.
Mini Kiss. Not anymore. This movie was made in 19...
Hey, Mini Kiss.
Here's the other thing. That movie was made in 1932. Freaking amazing.
Yeah.
That they pulled off the stuff that they were able to pull off.
By the way...
32, is that right?
The worst part of it, though, was the wizard. The wizard himself, because it looked like Jim Carrey from The Mask.
Yeah, it did.
Because that was, I mean, I don't know what the original wizard looked like in the actual movie, but the way they did it in the sphere was ridiculous.
It was over the top stupid.
But they did have like real flames shooting up, pyrotechnics.
No, they went all in to make sure this was an event. And not just you're sitting there watching a movie.
Right. Because, I mean, they're looking for how can they fill this place on off nights when they don't have shows, when they don't have concerts. And this is a great idea.
Yeah.
I also feel like that the trees in the movie were rapey.
Okay.
They were rape trees. They wanted to rape her. And it was weird. I got bad vibes from the trees.
Was that new from the original?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Were the trees nude?
No, they had their bark on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you guys know Judy Garland died at 47?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, she was really into pills.
She loved her booze, too.
Huh.
Yeah.
Hate that.
Somehow I've outlasted her 10 years.
Well, moment of silence for Judy Garland.
Indeed.